What's the difference in salvation and discipleship? That important question is what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've tuned in on a good day because we are currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar by sending us a message to our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. Now, I want to jump right to today's discussion because it's one that I think is very important. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
I have a question here, Bob, from George. And George is brand new to our ministry and what we believe and I think the free grace position.
Great.
Too.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Completely new.
Good.
And he says this. He says, I saw on your site that the basic teaching of free grace theology is that responding to the call to believe in Jesus Christ through faith alone is all that is necessary to receive eternal life, and that this basic simple belief brings assurance of entering into the kingdom of God. Then, if a person further responds to the call to follow Jesus, he becomes a disciple and undergoes sanctification. Thus, it seems you have separated saving faith from following Christ. I believe in salvation by faith alone, yet I believe once you are saved, it will be evidenced by good works. Not that you're saved by doing good works. Are you in agreement with that? So this is pretty much the first question that people should be asking when they encounter free grace theology.
Right.
Salvation and discipleship. And most people think if you're saved, you're going to become a disciple. I mean, you will absolutely become a disciple. And our position is, no, not exactly.
Right. Now, read me that last part when he was asking about following.
He says, I believe in salvation by faith alone, yet I believe once you are saved, it will be evidenced by good works. And he puts this in quotes. He separates, he says he understands this as saying that, quote, the call to believe is separate from the call to follow.
Right. Okay.
And he's like, that can't be right.
Oh, he doesn't agree with that.
No, he doesn't think that can be right. He thinks that the two are the same thing. If you do one, you have to do the other.
And we would say no, because it's real clear there were many people that Jesus evangelized without calling them to follow him. For example, the woman at the well. There's no hint of anything about following Jesus in John chapter 4, verses 10 through 25. Mm-hmm. The Lord points out to her that he is not only a prophet, but he is the Messiah, and she comes to faith, and she leaves her water pot, but he never calls her to follow him.
Right, and he doesn't ask her to leave her water pot.
No.
That's just something she does.
Commentators say it's symbolic of leaving her own religion behind, because it's the old water, right?
Yeah.
It's not the living water. Neither here nor there. But you get the same thing with Nicodemus, although there is a calling of Nicodemus to follow in John 3, 19 through 21.
Right.
But it's separate from the promise that if he believes in him, he'll have everlasting life. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, same thing. There's no following Christ. It doesn't say, for by grace you have been saved through faith and following Christ.
Right.
You don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. The water of life freely is Revelation 22, 17, and of course John 4, 14, John 4, 10 through 14, and also John 6, 35. So it's just a matter of believing, and the following is a separate issue. But now, if George wants to ask, what happens if a person comes to faith in Christ and doesn't follow him? The answer is God is going to discipline him.
Right.
God is going to put pressure on him to turn from sinful ways and to turn from a self-centered life into a Christ-centered life. It's better for all of us to love God and to serve God. That's how we have the abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, John 10:10.
Right. You know, sometimes people complain that dispensationalists teach multiple salvation messages. And apparently, maybe some dispensationalist has done that, you know, saying that in the Old Testament, people were saved one way and the New Testament, people are saved another way. Our position is there's only ever one condition of salvation, which is to believe in Jesus.
Or believe in Messiah in the Old Testament, because they wouldn't have known necessarily his name.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If you add following as a co-condition to faith, you have thousands of different conditions of salvation because God calls people to follow him in many different ways.
Right.
God called the 12 to literally leave their businesses, leave their families, and literally follow Jesus around Judea.
Which is what they did.
And they did. But you and I can't do that.
Right.
Because Jesus isn't here on earth. He's in heaven.
Right.
So that means if that was a condition of the apostles being saved, then they have a different condition than you and I have.
Right.
Or the woman at the well, like you said, she wasn't called to follow Jesus. She wasn't called to be a disciple. So whatever her calling looks like was not the same as the disciples. So if following is part of the condition of salvation and people are called to follow in different ways, then on that view, there's thousands of different ways to be saved. And it really doesn't seem fair for some people to be required to do so much to be saved and other people required to do so little.
I remember reading one seminary professor who said the woman at the well got the best deal. All she had to do was to receive the living water. All she had to do was believe.
Right.
There was no turning from sins, no commitment to life, no nothing.
Right.
Well, the truth is, if we're fair readers of the scriptures, that's certainly the case with not only the woman at the well, but every person that's ever been born again. Now, the real issue that George is striving for here is it really fair for somebody to have eternal life who doesn't live for God?
Right.
And the answer is yes, because that's what Jesus says.
Well, you know, and that's interesting because usually people who ask that already believe in some type of work salvation. And so they already sort of believe that you need to be at least kind of good to be saved in the first place.
Right.
And so fairness on the basis of works is definitely foremost on their minds. One thing I'm always arguing with the kids is they have a very strong sense of fairness. And if you do one thing for one kid, you have to do it for every single one of the other kids. I learned this recently just with flowers. You know, I buy Abby flowers every week, and I've taken to just kind of giving each of the girls one of the flowers. Well, Zane, who has his ironclad sense
fair.
Of fairness, that's not fair. Where's my flower? Now, he doesn't care about flowers, but it's not fair that everyone gets something that he doesn't. So the work salvation person who thinks, yeah, well, you do kind of have to be sort of good to be saved.
Right.
You can't just let anybody in. That really is a work salvation mindset. And the free grace position is it is incredibly not fair. Has nothing to do with fair. Has to do with grace.
Well, of course, remember in Romans chapter 3, Paul says, because of what Christ did for us on the cross, God can be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So it is just from God's standpoint. But from the standpoint of a modern-day Pharisee, not just.
Right. If you think it's unfair for just anyone to be saved, do you really believe in salvation by works?
And it sounds like with this person, with George, either he is contemplating the idea that it really could be as simple as believing in Jesus with no strings attached and that failure is possible in the Christian life, but he's not there yet. Or maybe he got there and now he's having second thoughts.
Right.
In other words, maybe he came to faith and believed in Jesus for his once and for all salvation. But then he started thinking, but wait a minute now. And subsequently, he's starting to wonder, but do I have to follow? Especially will be true if he's listening to a lot of preachers and teachers on radio, on TV, their blogs, their books, their sermons.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is not mainstream.
No.
A lot of people reject what we're saying because it seems too, I don't know what they would call it, licentious, too libertarian, whatever.
Well, I kind of feel weirdly about that because I kind of feel like everybody, even Roman Catholics nowadays, want to say, no, we believe that we're saved by faith. Everybody wants to say
that. Oh, and they want to say it's by grace, too.
Yeah, and they want to say it's by grace, too. But I think the free grace movement are one of the few that actually believe it is by faith apart from works because everybody, mostly everybody, once after they say, no, we're saved by faith, are going to introduce works in one way, shape, form, or another. Like George says here, he says, I believe in salvation by faith alone. Yet, I believe once you are saved, it will be evidenced by good works, not that you are saved by doing good works. So he has a tension here. He knows it's by faith apart from works, but at the same time, he wants to say, but you can't be saved without works either.
It is hypothetically possible that what God could have done is he could have said at the moment of the new birth, a person never sins again.
Right.
And you can tell they're a born-again person because they're living sinless lives.
They start glowing.
They glow in the dark, yeah. Whatever it is. You can tell just by looking at them, right?
Right.
God could have done that.
Yeah.
He didn't.
He could have made it so that as soon as you believe in Jesus, you become sinlessly perfect and you're
right.
Just caused to be whole.
And that would be good.
That'd be great. I would
like
love that.
That's not the way it is, because this life is a test. And I hope George can see, if he keeps reading what we've written, and, of course, what the scriptures say, that ultimately, if we endure, we're going to reign with Christ. That we are called to persevere in our faith so that we might hear him say, "Well done, good servant." Eternal rewards are conditioned on our continuing to follow Christ, but not our eternal destiny.
Right. So where could someone like George start? Is there an article or a book that you'd think that maybe he should go to kind of get clearer on these
Well,
things?
There are quite a few articles on our website. In the very first issue of our journal, we had one by Dr. Brad McCoy, called Secure Yet Scrutinized, and it's 2 Timothy 2:11-13. It's an excellent article. I have a book called Confident in Christ, which covers these issues, I think would be helpful. He might enjoy that. We have a number of ebooks, free ebooks.
Oh, yeah.
If he goes to faithalone.org, he could download some of our free ebooks.
Right.
We also have a bunch of not just podcasts, but we have all kinds of blogs, and we also have those videos we did, quite a few little 3 to 5 minute videos.
That's what I was thinking. He should go to our YouTube videos. We have a bunch of discussions of all these basic issues that we recorded back when we were younger.
You were still younger.
My hair had color back then.
Yes, right.
They're really good. I mean, I've heard from lots of different people saying, "No, I was watching your videos, and I just found it very helpful." And I think George would find it helpful, too. So, George, please go to faithalone.org or go to YouTube and look up GES Vids. I'm not sure if those are linked to our website. They definitely should be,
right?
If they're not. But look us up on YouTube. Go to faithalone.org. Pick up a copy of Bob's book, Confident in Christ. I'm sure it's going to answer a lot of your questions, and it'll probably provoke more questions. And if you do have more questions for us, we'd love to hear from you. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Thanks, and see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that wonderful discussion on salvation and discipleship. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about eternal security, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.